Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And away we go, San Diego. 2:01 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, another Gwynn and Chris. And we get things started off with an Aztec performance. Last night, the student section, alive and well, and Aztecs did exactly what I told you they would do. They won by 10 points. They
took
down
right.
Utah State. And, man, Adam Zacho was en fuego, as they like to say.
I would say so. 7-for-7 to open the game from three-point range. 12,239. Who says people in San Diego don't support their teams? I mean, that's... You know, that's about 100 people short of capacity. So, I mean, that's quite a turnout for a Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We talked about the late start of that game, and students came out en masse last night. And Aztecs really won this game. I know they won by 10 in the end because Utah State hit a bunch of threes late in the second half. I didn't realize Utah State was the number one percentage three-point shooting team in the nation.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever you got a team like that coming in, and then you end up hitting more threes than they do, thanks to Adam Zacho. It's probably going to be a pretty good night. And, you know, the Aztecs were, I thought, in command pretty much the entire way. They led by 20 early in the first half and just were never seriously threatened, and that's great. I mean, they go into first place in the conference. You know who was really good and overlooked in the game was Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the opening 3 minutes of the game. He ended up with 11 points and 10 rebounds.
Had a nasty block.
One block shot, but it should have been worth five.
It really should have been.
That was an incredible block shot, Tony. Almost, he was like 4 feet above the rim.
It was almost
against a seven-footer.
Yeah, it almost was as if the big man wasn't expecting him to bounce like
no
that.
No way. What a play that was. And then he not only blocked it, Tony, but he controlled it and kept it in play and got it to his teammates. I remember Bill Russell, the great Celtic, always talking about block shots, and I agree with them. Sometimes you swat one into the second row, and the crowd goes crazy, but you know what? Still the other team's ball.
Yeah.
So, to me, a great block shot, a really great one, is one that stays in play and goes to one of your teammates. Keyshawn Johnson made some great, great plays early in that game last night. And look, the Aztecs win going away on a night where Matt Bradley scores 4 points. So, you know, there's so many things to start liking about this team. And you know who's playing better finally? Jaden Ledee.
He is.
He was four for four again.
This has been like, what, maybe four straight games?
Maybe three or four games where he's starting to really contribute off the bench.
It's not like eye-popping numbers, but he's doing a lot of the little things.
Well, when you don't miss a shot.
Yeah, and when he's getting opportunities, as you said, he's not missing.
Not missing. 4-for-4 and 9 points, 3 rebounds in just 17 minutes. That's good work.
Another 80-plus point game for the Aztecs offensively, but they set the tone defensively
in
that first half. 32% from the field. The team that's number one in the nation from three-point land, 4 of 20 in the first half. Now, they got better, 7 of 13 in the second half.
Yeah, it was too late.
But it was too late. The Aztecs had opened up a 15-point lead at half, and, you know, they ended up losing the second half by 5, but when you have a 15-point lead, that leaves you with a 10-point victory.
They were never threatened in that game last night. So, you get San Jose State coming in on Saturday night, and, you know, San Jose State used to be a gimme for everybody in the conference. They're not anymore. I think the last I checked, they were 4-4 in conference. So Aztecs will have to be ready for that game. But, you know, you stay above the fray. Had Utah State won that game last night, it would have been a four-way tie for first place. Instead, the Aztecs remain a game up, and Utah State falls two back. So Nice win last night for San Diego State. Brian Dutcher, his staff.
We got to get Dutch on here.
We're due to have Dutch on. We've had David Velasquez. We've had two or three coaches. We've had players. We haven't had Dutch on yet.
Yeah, we
got
to get Dutch on here.
Calling out to you, Dutch. Give us a call. Have your people get in touch with our people.
The game on Saturday will be on Fox Sports 1.
Get a little network coverage.
What else is going on today? We got a new hire in Carolina.
Yeah.
Frank Reich.
Frank Reich takes over the Carolina Panthers.
It sounds like it came down between Frank Reich and the interim head coach, Wilkes.
Steve Wilkes.
Steve Wilkes, who was at one time the head coach for the Arizona Cardinals.
Right. And Wilkes did a very nice job.
Did a great job.
Last year after they got rid of, what was that guy's name, Matt?
Rule.
Matt Rule, yeah. How quickly we forget.
And then
it was pretty quick.
And then Nebraska paid like $500 million or something to get him over
there.
They're
going crazy for him. But I think some people can look at this. I mean, Steve Wilkes is African American, and you know Frank Reich is white, and you know, is this another one of these instances in the NFL?
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't either. Frank Reich, I think, deserves a shot at this. He did a really nice job with the Colts, fell out of favor there. They made so many wrong decisions. The Colts did. First was bringing Carson Wentz in. Second was bringing Matt Ryan in, and Frank Reich, you know, suffered from that.
They tried the let's bring in the old veteran type of deal for the last couple years. Frank Reich had to be the guy who was at the helm when they tried it.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Yeah, it did not work at all. Not even close to working. So, Carolina's got a new coach. Dan Quinn just told the Cowboys he's staying as the defensive coordinator in Dallas.
So that's surprising.
That's a little bit of a late breaking news here that just popped up in the last little while. There's still quite a few coaches' openings, but I think Carolina seemed like the one place that Sean Payton might end up. I just don't see him going to Denver. I think the more and more this goes on, the more I'm starting to think Sean Payton might honestly just stay out of the coaching thing for another year. I mean, they're going to still offer him a gazillion dollars to come back and coach next year. I just don't know if he likes any of the situations right now.
Listen, it's much like John Gruden when he came back, right? It got to the point where he waited and waited and waited, and what he ended up getting at the time was one of the best deals I think a head coach has ever gotten, because he waited for the perfect time to do it. Now, it's clear to me that Sean Payton still wants to be a head coach, but you're right. I just think at this point he's looking out at the landscape, what he would be attaching himself to. Remember, he got to attach himself to Drew Brees the last time he took over a team and was able to kind of handpick a quarterback. He got to actually do that. That turned out really well for him. My guess is he probably wants to do the same thing once again. And there's probably only a few situations that come ready to go, like turnkey, basically. And I think he's looking out there right now, and none of those situations seem to jump out at him right now.
No. I mean, and you know, when you're Sean Payton, you can handpick.
Absolutely.
Where you're going to wind up. I'm a little nervous to wade into this controversy again, but I'll go ahead anyway. The no-names continue to dominate the leaderboard at the Farmers Insurance Open.
We went there. That was a smooth transition.
Wow, a completely wrong transition, but it was smooth.
Not wrong. Name any of the people that are on the leaderboard.
So nothing changed today so far?
Not really. Sam Ryder continues to lead at 11 under par. Vincent Norman is 8 under par. Taylor Montgomery, 7. Brendan Steele, 7. Andrew Novak, 7. Tano Goya, 6.
Love Tano.
Yeah, and you don't know who he is.
You're right. I don't.
So anyway,
he forgot the big name right there. Max Homa is tied for six.
Max Homa.
So he conveniently stops when a big name.
Well,
comes
I got to make my point, and my point is that other than Max Homa, there's no big name within 5 shots of the lead.
Well, yeah, John Rahm continues to cool.
The second round.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't realize that there's going to be 30 mile an hour winds all day, and so The conditions are extremely tough down there. Like all the
aren't they tough on the no-name players also, or do the winds die down when the no-name players?
It depends on where you are in the course. I mean, I guess if you're playing the South Course, today is not the day to play the South Course.
My discussion is not whether or not these guys are having a tough day. My discussion is all about the fact that Torrey Pines has not gotten a break this weekend. Farmers Insurance hasn't gotten a break.
One of my favorite things.
You need a couple of big names in there to get people excited for Friday and Saturday, the final two rounds.
One of my favorite things on this show is to watch Scraby have to backpedal.
I'm not backpedaling at all.
Oh, well, you have to backpedal because
scramble,
you
backpedal.
So,
you're scrambling right now.
You have been
I'm trying to find the tournament on TV. That's not me scrambling.
Calm down.
Scrambling.
I'm just saying, see how your temperature's raised.
Well,
right
you're accusing
now?
Me of something that's not true.
I'm sorry. It seems like you're a little bit scrambled right now.
I'm not scrambled at all.
Well, no. At the end of the first day, your argument was it doesn't matter who's leading at the end of the first day.
It doesn't, though.
Right.
Okay, let me ask you this. Will it matter at all who's leading at the end of the second day?
No.
Okay. Not at all.
It's also a Thursday. So not many people are paying attention until Friday.
Thank you, Captain Obvious, for telling me what day it is.
But
I'm aware that
I needed help.
Thursday.
Thank you. I'm glad.
833-288-0973. If you think Chris is wrong, please call. Please. 833-288-0973. No, that's not true.
From people that are telling him,
I at least read 10.
I was about to say he got 10.
But then after I was going through some of my DMs from last night. There are some really fired up golfers out there, and I'm with you, golf fans. I am with you, and I am for you.
But just for argument's sake, most of those folks were replying yesterday that they agreed with you in terms of it not mattering after day one.
No, it was more an overall.
Oh, yeah, you know what? It was more about following them, right?
More of an overall, like, if you're going to the tournament, no one cares who's in the lead of the tournament. You're not going there to watch the leader unless
it's
Tiger Woods.
Okay, but you're also helping to make my point for me.
I am not.
Well, yes, you are, because you're telling me that
what
these
are... What is your point?
My point is...
Because I don't even think you know what your point is.
Well, you want to let the man tell you
I'm
his
trying
point,
to do what he does and bully him. I'm giving him a taste of his own medicine.
I just run roughshod over him.
Well, yeah, you do, because you're like, you're wrong. And then people tell Chris he's wrong, and Chris can't handle it that he's not wrong.
He is wrong. I am not wrong. I am wrong in the eyes of golf fanatics, because golf fanatics truly do not care who's leading. They will go watch anybody, and they're savvy enough to go out on the course and find the names and follow them without caring who's leading.
But
what I'm concerned about is the casual golf fan that is not going to tune into the Farmers Insurance Open on the weekend or over the final two rounds if they don't recognize any names in the leaderboard. That's my point.
You don't know that.
No,
do you have numbers? Do you have numbers to prove that? You don't. So you can't prove it.
Well, we'll wait for the
ratings. Because this is exactly what he would say to me. Oh, how do you know that? You don't have any proof of that.
Well, I have a pretty good
idea. Hey, by the way, Chris, you also conveniently left out John Rahm is still up near the top. He's 3 under. There
he's
are guys
nine back.
He that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter he's
no,
nine
it doesn't
back?
Matter he's 3 under because he could still.
He shot a one over today.
That's not true. He's still on the golf course, according to the website, the
PGA Tour.com. Yesterday.
Yeah.
He's 4 under today.
Yeah.
Because he's playing the North course, so he's doing
Justin Thomas is also in, the top 25. Colin Morikawa's in the top 25. Luke List, who won
last
year.
Why are you even telling us who's in the top 25? I didn't think it mattered who was in the top 25.
Well, I'm trying to prove to you that there are good golfers in the top 25.
All right. Well, the Farmers Insurance.
I can't do
Open.
This again. I'm just telling you right now. I cannot do this again.
I knew that I would get him with this one today.
Like, Gravy, your temperature is so high right now.
I'm being real. We cannot talk about this the rest of the day.
Well, no, there's 4 hours of show, so
we can't.
It's likely going to come up
again.
I'm
telling you, I may leave the studio.
Why are you so
I
upset?
Love my job.
Because you rile me up to no points. Like, you just say things that are wrong about golf that I can't handle.
You good?
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's get to break. Scott Miller's going to join us a little bit later. New York Times, a Daily Gamma. We got to rate the radio call. We got a special one. Georgetown Hoyas finally got a victory. You're going to want to hear this one. Chris versus the fan, the Big Five. When we come back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Rolling on here toward 6 o'clock. Full 4 hours with you today. And it's Tony Gwynn Jr., of course. It's Chris Ello. It's Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios here in San Diego, California. Very happy that I showed up on time to the show today. That is not something I was able to do last night, refereeing for the St. Augustine number one team in the county basketball game.
You showed up late?
Well, not intentionally. My schedule said the game started at 7:30, so I went home after the show. I relaxed a little bit, took my time, got changed. Supposed to be to the game about 25 minutes to a half hour early, so I had it, you know, scheduled out that I would arrive at about 7:05. Got a phone call while I was sitting in a line of cars to get off the freeway at the exit. Chris, the game starts in 8 minutes. They changed it to 7 o'clock.
And they never told you?
Did not tell me. So I had to race over to the school, park in the red zone, find the gym. Thank you. Find the gymnasium, which I had never been to before. It's a brand new gym over there. So I ran halfway around the campus looking for the gym. And I ran into the arena with 1 minute on the countdown clock. And I was jeered by the crowd.
Of course you were.
For being late. So this was no way to start my evening. But I want to thank the fine folks down there at St. Augustine for hosting the game last night. I will tell you this, Tony. The St. Augustine High School basketball team, they are deserving of their number one ranking. They are the quickest team I have seen playing high school basketball in quite some time. I mean, they make plays that you don't think they're going to be made. And then their arm shows up and steals the ball. They make a pass that no other team would make. They turn it into a layup, a dunk. Anyway, it was fun to do the game last night, but I apologize to those peaks. They thought I was late. I wasn't really late, but I was late because
you've ref some pretty high-level teams this year.
It was a good game. I mean, Hoover has a good team they played against, but Hoover had no chance to keep up with Saints last night. My man Mike Hopped, I think he appreciated my work. He was joking a couple of weeks ago when he said that I'm a terrible referee.
He also, I'm sure he had to give you a little bit of, you know what,
oh, yeah,
showing up.
He gave me a look, and he laughed when I came running into the gym. And, when you're running late, right, I mean, you're stressed out, or at least I get stressed out. So the entire first quarter was a blur to me. I was trying to get myself.
Get your bearings underneath.
Get myself bearings. Yeah, because I didn't get my usual pregame routine to get ready.
What's your usual pregame routine?
I don't know. Just stretching, you know, I don't know.
He listens to some Barry Manilow to get all pumped up.
No, it's not. You don't want to get too pumped up as an official. At least I don't. I'd rather relax. So you're right. Maybe Barry Manilow would serve me well. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, you just disarmed me.
All right. Dennis Dodd, I said we weren't going to go here, but let's go here. He's the one of our buddies from CBSSports.com, college football, college
This is a conversation writer. You and I have been having for quite
and
some
we've
time.
We've been talking about this for a long time. He was on with the coach, John Quintero, earlier today. And the whole thing is about what's going to happen with San Diego State and what conference they're going to go to. And apparently, Dennis Dodd.
News. Yeah, sounds
it's
like.
It's all good news for San Diego State fans. I mean, Dennis Dodd thinks that it's all but a done deal that the Aztecs are going to go to the Pac-12. And it's just a matter of when they'll actually do it. And apparently, he also said that the Big 12 isn't completely out of the picture either. Because I think that's where I'd like them to go.
I actually have the clip from Coach's show from Dennis Dodd talking about the Pac-12 and the Big 12.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I said in the story, I think the mood there at San Diego State is somewhere between, you know, giddy apprehension, anticipation, and not, you know, not wanting their soul crushed, you know, by it not happening. But every indication is that the Pac-12 going to do something, whether it's with two teams or one team. That was stressed to me from the outset that don't be surprised if the Pac-12 just goes with 11. And obviously the San Diego State is the best fit. You know, if not San Diego State, I would fully expect Brett Yormark and the Big 12 to take a big run at the Aztecs, but it's a much harder fit with transportating athletes all over the country, obviously.
Well, the one thing that's Dennis Dodd on with the coach earlier, you can hear the entire interview on our webpage, 97.3
The Fan. SD.com?
SD.com. Thank you. I knew there was another piece to that, and I couldn't remember it offhand. The one thing about the Big 12 is that their commissioner, and I don't know all these commissioners' names, but the commissioner of the Big 12 came out and said a few months ago, if you recall, Tony, that he wants a team or teams in the Pacific time zone.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you know, I think the Aztecs have to, you know, do some serious due diligence about offering themselves up as a potential fit for the Big 12. The reason I love the Big 12 more than the Pac-12 is because...
More stability.
I feel like the Big 12 is staying put. The Pac-12, I'm not really sure what the future is.
Right, because you know,
I don't know if Oregon's going to leave and Stanford's going to leave and Arizona's going to leave. But the Big 12 doesn't appear to be going anywhere.
Right.
And, man, would there be some great basketball in this town. I mean, if you had Kansas coming out here every year, Iowa State, Oklahoma State. I mean, these are great basketball programs. University of Houston is going into the Big 12.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
Imagine the Aztecs getting to play Kansas and Houston. Right now, those are two of the top five teams in the nation. Fabulous.
That is the type of conference, especially on the basketball end, where you don't have to win your conference in order to get an outright
just
bid.
Just play in the conference, and they put you in a bid. Yeah.
Right.
Just win a couple of games as opposed to where they are now.
You're right. I mean, listen, I Pac-12, you know, would be awesome as well. But the kind of up in the air of Oregon possibly wanting to jump ship, because it doesn't sound – I mean – they could very well move too. Oregon State. That probably means Stanford. Somebody else like that also going to leave. So,
right.
What will the Pac-12 look like in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Whereas the Big 12, the only way or place to go from the Big 12 is the SEC,
which is what Oklahoma and Texas are doing,
right? And they're not accepting as many applications at this point, and so. It does seem to be, anecdotally, it seems to be a little more stability in the Big 12 than it does the Pac-12.
I would love to see them go to the Big 12. I would accept the Pac-12
happily,
but I would be much happier if they can get into the Big 12. And the other thing, I think, look, the Big 12 has TCU, which just played in the national championship football game.
Former Mountain West team.
And, you know, I think if the Aztecs went into the Big 12, they could follow the TCU blueprint of how to go from a Mountain West team to a Big 12 team. Because TCU, when they started in the Big 12, they finished in the cellar in football for a year or two, but they slowly started piecing this all together.
Yep.
And you look at TCU's athletic program now, there's not a whole lot of schools out there beyond the SEC that are a whole lot better than TCU when it comes to football, men's basketball, baseball, volleyball. Here's good. I mean,
that's
anyway,
right. It's all the sports.
It's all those sports, yeah. And TCU has become real good at most of them. I mean, Fort Worth, Texas, or San Diego, California, if you got a choice and you're going to get to play in the Big 12 either way, I got to believe San Diego is going to be the destination for a lot of young athletes. So I think San Diego State could compete football in the Big 12 in a couple of years. I really don't think it would take all that long. So
I agree.
That's my wish. We'll see what ends up happening. But yeah, if you want to hear that Dennis Dodd interview, 97.3thefansd.com or download the Odyssey app. Good job by the coach, John Kinterraden, on that one earlier. Speaking of interviews, Scott Miller from the New York Times, the baseball guy, joins us next. We'll get caught up with him, what he thinks of all the Padres' offseason moves, what he thinks the Padres will do now that they have all of these pieces in place, and some other baseball stuff, kind of like who did he vote for the Hall of Fame. We will find out when Scott Miller joins us next on 97.3 The Fan.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
On the clock, Thursday afternoon, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We're going to talk to Scott Miller here shortly, get his find out what his ballot looked like. Another thing I want to talk to him about is, I don't know if we've talked about it all that much. We've talked about it a little bit, but I don't really know that any of us understand how different the game is. Could possibly look in 2023 on the baseball diamond.
Well, first of all, no shift.
No shift. Limited shift.
Limited shift. You're going
to
have
two
on
each
players
side
on
the
each side of the bag.
Of second base.
Second base.
We got the pitch clock, which I think is going to really change the game.
Yeah, and we got the no throw over to first base rule after two pickoff attempts. That's going to be the biggie to me, because and the bases are going to look a little bigger.
Bases are a little bit bigger,
which means it'll be a fraction of a second easier to steal second base and or third base. Will it be a fraction of a second? It won't be a fraction of a second easier to reach first base on an infield single, will it? Will the front of the base be any closer to home plate?
I don't think so.
I don't either. I think they're going to have to.
I think they expanded in other corners.
Yeah. Anyway.
The game could very well look a lot different in 2023 than we've seen.
Times are changing.
Now, does that mean in numbers? I don't think we know. But in terms of action.
I got to believe the stolen base numbers are going to go up. They've got to go up. I mean, people have got to try more stolen bases. I mean, that's something baseball wants, right?
Baseball wants it, but do these teams want it?
Do they want their guys taking a chance? I don't know. After two pickoff throws, you've got to try it at that point.
I mean, does the strategy now become to draw those two pickoff throws? Right? There's so many questions that I have, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. I mean, it starts in spring training. Like, from what's been reported, there isn't going to be like a grace period, if you will. It's going to be first pitch of spring training. We got this clock. This is what's supposed to happen. And in my opinion, that's the right way to do
it. Yeah, the first month, right, in April, there'll be a lot of guys that'll get called.
They'll be irritated.
Taking too long or not getting in the box fast enough. They'll get a strike called on them. It'll happen. And it'll be on all the highlight shows that night. But probably by June or July, it'll start to dissipate.
My guess, it'll be even quicker than that. Because if it's happening from day one of spring training, guys are going to be able to kind of work the kinks out at that point. Spring training is long enough. Spring training is long.
Trust me. It's a month. Yeah, it's a whole month, right?
I wonder what the WBC rules though, because are those applying to that? I don't know. Are you going to be playing
Let's
under
ask
the old?
Somebody knows more about baseball than we do.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great idea. Scott Miller joins us, New York Times, here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And Scott, it's been a long time, man. How are you?
Hey, good guys. Happy New Year. I don't know if we've talked since then, but
we haven't.
Also, Tony, I wanted to tell you, nice piece in the Union Tribune.
Thank you, sir.
On your father and your work with the American Lung Association.
I appreciate it. I did a column today in the opinion section about lung cancer and the American Lung Association that I'm a part of. And if you guys have time.
Yeah, you can find it easily online. Type in Tony's name and San Diego Union Tribune. It'll pop right up. You can read the opinion piece because I did so myself just a little while ago. Very nice.
Thank you
done.
For your kind words, Scott. I want to talk to you a little bit about this upcoming season. First, have you thought about it? Chris and I were just kind of spitballing here. Have you thought about how different the game could look with the new rules that are going to be applied come spring training?
Yeah, I have. I'm eager to see it,
to
be honest with you. I can't wait on a couple fronts. You know, one, the pitch clock, and, you know, look, you guys know me well enough to know I'm an old, you know, I count myself as, you know, used to say the dreaded purist word. You know, now it's old school. But that said, you know, the old me would be, I don't want any clock in the game. It's the beauty of it is no clock. But, you know, cut to now, and we all know we don't have to hash over it again. We all know how slow the game has become, you know, as different chess pieces are moved. I think a couple of things. One, I'm all in on the pitch clock, at least to see how it works. Part of the reason I'm in on that is because, I'll tell you what, I've talked to enough grumpy old scouts that are also old school guys that hate a lot of the new things. And the scouts that have scouted in the minor leagues last year where baseball was testing this, test driving the pitch clock. And these guys, a couple guys I talked to raved about it. They said the pace of the game is so much better. So I'm eager for that. And I'm also eager to see the game without a shift, you know, going back to how it used to be. I understand the argument for, you know, especially by the sabermetrics types, like, hey, just because we figured out some things, you know, now you're going to penalize the smart people in the game.
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing.
But I don't necessarily agree with it because, you know, I mean, the NBA has done some, other sports have done things, right? The NBA, you know, no zone defenses and you know, they legislate the 3-point rule, right? You can't, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, not 3.3 seconds. You can't stand in the key for more than 3 seconds. Football, you know, certain guys are ineligible receivers. So I liken it to that, and I'm fine with it.
The other thing is, I mean, it's not really penalizing the smart people. I was joking when I was saying, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, ultimately, is it good for the game or is it not good for the game? And I think this is an experiment that maybe it hasn't necessarily been great for not the people in baseball, but the people who actually pay money to come watch baseball. Yeah. They're the ones who have suffered the most.
When you have a batted ball in play, an average of one time every whatever it is now, 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes. I mean, that's just dreadful. You've got to, you know, I mean, I'm all for strikeouts and things like that, but, you know, every night shouldn't be a strikeout fest, and every night shouldn't be one ball in play every 4.5, 5 minutes. And, you know, there's got to, I think, you know, as much as I hate, have always been resistant to rules changes and changing the game, I do think that we've reached a point where, you know, the leaders of the game need to be proactive, as they are right now, in trying to find a happy medium between maybe what we've watched the last 4 or 5 years and the old style of baseball. You know, I mean, I'm not saying we need to go back to a bunch of 2-1 games, you know, from 1960, but somewhere in the middle, there's got to be an improved product on the field for entertainment value.
Scott Miller is with us from the New York Times. And, you know, baseball's already made a lot of changes that have really kind of just been accepted now. I would have never thought that anybody would accept putting a runner on second base in extra innings. And that would actually work. And it's worked. So I'm willing to open my mind to all of this, Scott. Let me ask you about the Padres. Offseason, you know, acquisition of Bogarts, the other moves that they made. What would you do if you were, you know, Bob Melvin, A.J. Preller? How would you configure this team? And are there still any question marks left in your mind, or have they checked all the boxes to get themselves ready for a huge run here in 2023?
Well, they've definitely checked a lot of boxes. And, you know, spring training is going to be really complicated because with the Bogart signing, obviously, there's a domino effect. There are about three, four guys that are going to have to change. And in a year in which the World Baseball Classic is happening, and a lot of guys, you know, including a couple on the Padres, are going to be leaving to play for the World Baseball Classic, you know, around March 3rd or 4th or 5th, it's going to be difficult. I mean, Bob Melvin's probably got the most difficult job, I think, of any manager in baseball. During this particular spring, because he's got to massage some egos as he moves guys around. He's got to be the guy to deliver the plan to these guys and sell them on, you know, what Jay Cronenworth, you know, why you need to go to first base, Ha-Sung Kim to second base from short. I assume those are going to happen. You know, I think eventually probably Tatis and Wright and move Juan Soto over to left field. You know, we saw, I think they'd be better that way. We saw Soto, and, you know, I'll be interested to see what he does this year now that he's adjusted to his first trade because, you know, I'll be honest, the second half, you know, after the Padres acquired him, I thought he was one of the most disappointing players in baseball. I mean, I've seen him at his best, and he's one of the best players in baseball. But when I say most disappointing, not just offensively, but defensively, you know, he was not very good out in right field, you know, more often than not. And So I think, you know, again, like you say, spitballing, it's just me, but I think maybe Tatis and Wright move Juan Soto over to left. It's not quite as difficult a position as Wright. Tatis is younger. It's going to be interesting. I think, you know, I like the addition of Nelson Cruz. I'll tell you this, every team he's played for, when I talked to the clubhouse has always just loved him. He's one of the most respected players in baseball. You know, I think that's an easy call. $1 million isn't much. If he's, you know, on the descent and isn't going to help the Padres, you know, it's not that big of a gamble. Right. But, you know, this eye surgery he had to tighten things up, it'd be interesting if that works. Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. both love Cruz. Machado played with him in Baltimore when he was a young guy, and Cruz was instrumental in his development. Cruz does things the right way, and I think he'll set a good tone in the clubhouse.
No, there's no doubt about it. I got the opportunity to play with Nelson for a couple of years in Milwaukee, and even at a young age, he just had an understanding of how to treat people, how to treat his teammates. So I agree, Scott. He will be a terrific addition. Scott Miller joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And Scott, you were just highlighting the kind of, I guess, difficulties that lie ahead in terms of Bo Mel being able to kind of deliver those messages. I imagine it's even more difficult when you got at least four of those guys that are going to be playing in the WBC. And in the Dominicans' case with Manny and Nelson and Soto and Xander Bogaerts will be off playing for his squad,
Netherlands.
I imagine that time to kind of get that message across it's going to be shortened because Dominican's probably going to make a long run in this WBC.
Oh, that Dominican team looks a lot. I was just looking at some of the rosters on paper.
It's nuts.
That Dominican team is like stupid talented. But yeah. Melvin, you know, it will be short. He won't have as much time to deliver his message and get guys situated. But, you know, I'll say this, and this is where a manager can be, the right manager can be so important.
Yeah, no doubt.
I guarantee you this. Guarantee it. Fernando Tatis Jr., remember a couple years ago when they moved him to right field and to the outfield, and it was clear he was sulking, right? I mean, he wasn't playing with the energy. He didn't like not playing shortstop. He will not do that this year. Bob Melvin will reach him. And, you know, I don't mean to Jace Tingler because he's a good baseball man and he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But this is, especially when you've got talent like the Padres have, this is where a manager makes his money. It's in the communication with players, getting the players onto the same page, you know, reaching them, making them understand why this is a good thing, not just for the team, but for themselves to do. And, you know, I mean, Bob Melvin is recognized universally as, you know, one of the best managers in baseball. I mean, he's up there with Buck Showalter and Tito Francona and some of those guys. And the good thing is in this, what is going to be a difficult spring for the Padres, I think they have the right man in charge to lead the ship, deliver the message, and do as good as you can do in a shortened amount of time in a World Baseball Classic spring. To have the guys ready to go on March 30th or whatever. I think that's opening day.
Scott Miller's with us, New York Times, talking baseball, familiar voice to all of you out there. Scott, Hall of Fame, Scott Rolen is in. Who did Scott Miller think should have gotten into the Hall of Fame?
You know, it's funny because, like, I would be classified as a, you know, this debate, small hall versus big hall, right, has become a thing. I'm more of a small hall guy, and I only voted for three players. You're allowed to vote for up to 10. Now, that said, when I tell you who I voted for, it doesn't always make sense because you'd say, wait a minute, that ballot sounds like a big hall guy. You want to let everybody in, even though I only voted for three people. The three I voted for, I did vote for Scott Rolen. There's some gray area there, but this guy, one of the best defensive third basemen.
Easily.
Ever. Yeah. And, you know, I started voting for him when he came on the ballot. More is a nod to defense. I do think defense isn't always looked at as hard as it should be in Hall of Fame voting. You know, I mean, you could make an argument. Keith Hernandez totally belongs in the Hall of Fame. He was one of the greatest defensive first basemen ever. And, you know, his offensive number is really good, too. But I just bring him up as an example where I think defense can be overlooked. And Rolen was a really good all-around player. His offensive numbers might not woe you, but they were solid. He was a really good base runner. Fundamentally, he did everything right, and he's one of the greatest third basemen ever. So I voted for Rolen. I voted for Jeff Kent.
Good for you, Scott. We said the same thing yesterday.
Yeah, I'm none of these guys, by the way, I understand the arguments against, and obviously I thought enough to vote for them. But if you want to argue the other side, I don't put it this way. They're not slam dunks. I grant that. But I vote for Kent. I mean, you know, the most home runs by any second baseman ever. And the third guy I voted for, and I didn't vote for him the first couple of years, but I really go back and forth on him, but I finally decided, and that's, Billy Wagner. Closers are so difficult to judge because they don't have that big body of work. You know, they only throw an inning or two at a clip, but Billy Wagner's strikeout numbers are just, you know, again, they're all time. I mean, the strikeout ratio, the numbers show, and he did it a reasonably long amount of time, 15 years or so, and the numbers show he was one of the hardest pitchers to hit, one of the hardest relievers to hit ever, according to the numbers. Now, that said, play devil's advocate to what I just said, he also pitched in an era in which offensive hitters were starting to not care as much if they struck out. So I think some of today's numbers are skewed, but Wagner, I think, did it, you know, kind of before there were so many strikeouts. So those are the three I voted for. And there were a couple guys on the fence. I went, agonized over Carlos Beltran. May, it was his first year on the ballot. And obviously he's got the whole Houston cheating scandal. I don't know how much to penalize him for that. I may end up voting for Beltran in the future. Todd Helton is a really close guy on the fence, but the Coors Field splits are pretty significant in his case.
Don't you feel bad, though, that Todd Helton only missed by 11 votes, and with you, he would have only missed by 10?
I'll tell you what, there have been a couple guys in the past where I haven't voted for. And I'm trying to think who was there. Somebody a year or two ago, and it might have been David Ortiz, because I don't vote for steroid guys. I love Ortiz. I covered the Twins when he came to them as a player to be named later when he was like 18 or 19. I've known him over all these years. Obviously, his stats speak for themselves. Personally, I've always really liked him. But I just couldn't pull the trigger to vote for him because as I try to be consistent, I don't vote for Bonds, Clemens, all the steroid guys. So, there's not proof with Ortiz. But I thought, well, I'm going to withhold a vote. So to your point, Chris, last year came up, I was just thinking, whatever happens, just please don't let him miss by one vote, because then they'll go looking. And then I was afraid, Ortiz, I mean, not that he's going to personally come hunting me down, but at the same time, going back with a guy since he was 18 or 19, it was kind of like, oh, geez. So, yeah, you're right. You do think like that sometimes.
No doubt about it. Scott, I look forward to seeing you out in Arizona, man. We'll catch up then.
Yes. It's almost that time. The NFL season is almost over, and the Super Bowl keeps going back. We're pretty soon going to go straight from the Super Bowl to spring training.
That's right. That's right. No doubt. Scott, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Scott.
That was Scott Miller on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. That was Scott Miller, New York Times, on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. We're going to get to break when we come back. Scraby's got a daily game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.